My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. This is a replay of a podcast made on December 22nd, 2019, on location from Manila in the Philippines. We are at the American Cemetery. Wes Curlin, Darris McNeely, and I give our impressions of our visit. We're here on scene in Manila, Philippines, and I'm joined here by Darris McNeely and our guest, Wes Curlin, who is a resident here in the Philippines, just a stone's throw from the American Cemetery right here, and that's where we're at. Welcome, Wes.
Well, thank you very much. You know, my wife, Madel, and I moved here from Indianapolis, Indiana, Hoosiers, still Hoosiers at heart, and we're enjoying what's going to probably be a year in the Philippines. And I just like to tell you guys thank you for allowing me to show you part of where I live.
Well, you have not only shown us, but you have explained as a historian, and so we've been just fascinated by the things that you have said that are, of course, sobering in themselves, but the displays here of the history of the war for the liberation of Manila during World War II is really fascinating. Tell us what you're doing here in the Philippines, and a little bit about your background, and perhaps I'd like to hear about your Air Force.
Well, I spent 20 years in the United States Air Force. The majority of that time I spent in law enforcement as a law enforcement canine trainer and supervisor, and I also spent 4 years out of uniform as a special agent with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, investigating felony crimes and doing counterterrorism, counterintelligence investigations. And then I spent 2 years as an enlisted historian as well. Mm-hmm. After joining the church, I never had to miss a Sabbath. I never had to miss a holy day or anything. And I kind of look at it and go, God was looking out for me and allowing me to, he had plans, and he allowed me to finish my career, which I have a military retirement that in part has allowed us to come to the Philippines and explore the Philippines and really enjoy and further my love of Philippine-American history as pertains particularly to World War II.
Well, that's a lead-in now to what I'd like to talk about is some of the history here. And this is my second time or third time in the Philippines, but I have really gained just a whole lot from this visit about this area. Tell us some of your impressions, some of the things that are deepest in your heart about this part of the world.
I was stationed at the former Clark Air Base here in the Philippines from 1989 to 1991, and my dormitory sat at the base of what was called Lily Hill. And Lily Hill was the last holdout of the Japanese in World War II at Clark Air Base. And the U.S. forces couldn't take it. Twice they tried to take it. And finally, the local village chief came to the U.S. commander and said, if you feed my people, we'll take that hill for you, because the local villagers had been starving underneath the Japanese rule. And so the American commander said, we have nothing left to lose. Okay, we'll go with that. And the next day, the Japanese were off the hill. And I was so...
Forcibly.
Well, there's two stories that in the middle of the night, that group of IATIS, who were MacArthur's personal scouts during the war here in the Philippines, they crept up in the Japanese and killed every one of them in the night. The other story is that they crept up on the Japanese and they marked the toe of their boot. And in the morning when the sun came up, the Japanese realized what had happened and that they fled and they surrendered to Hill. But regardless, it's a historic fact that they did surrender the hill that following day. The American military fed the local the IATIS and who were also funneling guerrilla information to MacArthur and forces and what have you. My point is that so intrigued me. Mm-hmm. I started to learn about the different wartime sites on Clark Air Base alone. And you could at that point, you could literally go out and scratch, some places you could scratch the surface a few inches and you could find expelled rounds from the Battle of Clark, mm-hmm, in World War II. And so as that knowledge increased, and then I started looking at the places like Corregidor and the Bataan Death March, and it just became a real desire of mine to learn more and more. And on Clark Air Base, there's also an American cemetery where over 2,000 are buried. Mm-hmm. And I used to drive by that cemetery every day, and it just tug at my heart what happened and the sacrifice and what have you. And then to learn about the American cemetery here in Manila and having over 17,000 buried here.
Right, that's where we're at right now.
And it's just the beauty of it. The fact that the United States government takes care of this cemetery, and to know that the dead that are here will never be forgotten, mm-hmm. will always be taken care of as long as they're here. It really just puts a lump in my throat, and I wanna just continue to learn and about the sacrifice of so many millions.
Well, you've taken us here to the cemetery. We're walking around this memorial where there are the one we're walking around here is just those who are missing in action.
36,000
names on the wall here, and we just go panel after panel after panel. It's just really is awesome and sobering.
On top of, there are also names of the Philippine scouts and the Philippine members of the United States Army in the Philippines who are also missing in action from the war.
Mm-hmm. Now we have with us Darris McNeely. I would like to have him give some of his impressions from Corregidor and from what we've experienced these last 3 days. It seems like we've been here a month with all the data that's been pumped into our heads here from this trip to the Philippines. Darris?
Well, I just want to mention that right behind us, you were talking about the missing in action, right behind us there's an entire section of grave markers that are unmarked, known but to God, as the inscription says on there. And you walk through there, and it's just very sobering to see that. And off in another section over here, I walked by one grave, and the entire section of hundreds of grave markers with a fresh bouquet of flowers lay there. That was very touching to see some soldier here in the cemetery still remembered by family. When you visit an American military cemetery in any part of Europe or the Pacific, it's a sobering experience to see the reverence that each fallen soldier is given from the United States through its Battle Monuments Commission. And the care by which also the those who are the caretakers here and the commandants and all seek to find out as much as they can about individuals who are here and treat this place as a very hallowed ground. A couple of days ago when we were on Corregidor and looking out over Bataan and the events that took place there, I've heard of those places and read about them all my life, never dreaming that I would be there and see them firsthand. And when you look at the experience of war in these areas and all the stories, that they are saddened in many ways. We're here for different purposes today, with our mission to the Philippines, as we are actually yesterday we had a Kingdom of God seminar,
right.
And we focused on that God is preparing a people that will learn the ways of peace rather than the ways of war. And in a cemetery like this, you see the tragic result of war. The lessons we can take from here, I think, are very deep and very sobering.
You know, in the United States, we have not known war. Neither has war come to our country where we see bombed out cities. We don't. And here we do. We see an entire society that was leveled several times back and forth between the Japanese, Americans, Filipinos, and so forth. And now we have a Kingdom of God seminar where Darris McNeely spoke about peace and us learning to make peace. And it's more than just platitudes, more than just empty hope. It is something that's going to be real. And as we see all the fallen and all the people who have sacrificed, all the people who have given their lives for what? And I know that God has a greater purpose and he has a greater meaning to all this, that we hope to be able to talk to people about the gospel of the Kingdom of God.
Well, absolutely. And the one thing I would like to just say is remember that nobody hates war more than the military member that has to go out and fight it. And we all pray that there'll be when Christ returns, we will never, ever have to experience this ever again. Mm-hmm. You know, the sacrifices that have been made and the pain that Satan causes with war It's immeasurable.
It's immeasurable, but it's also not without something that's going to be done about it. That's the wonderful thing about it. You know, I've come too from a background of people who've been oppressed, people who've been forgotten, and people who've just been statistics in the millions of all. But God knows all these people.
Yeah.
There are a lot of unknowns, you know, in our lives.
Yeah, but God knows every single one of them, and everyone will have another day.
And the wonderful story about the Bible is that, you know, Jesus Christ himself said that he is aware of everything. God is aware of every fallen sparrow. You know, we're individuals who are not forgotten, and he knows everybody whose life has been breathed into, and he's going to make it right.
He will make it right, and all of us will be one day.
Yeah.
You know, we had our Kingdom of God seminar yesterday, which was highly successful, I believe. You know, and the Filipino people, they're just a beautiful people. I think it was you, Mr. Kubik, that said how God has smiled on the Filipino people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that that is absolutely spot on. They're zealous in their desire to serve God, and we've been blessed to be around them.
There was something very special about them, and they have been a light to Asia. They really have been a light to Asia. They're not looked upon as the big, powerful, as some of the economies and governments around, from Japan to China to Korea to, you know, Hong Kong and Singapore, India and so forth. You know, they are a people who have been more humbled through what has happened. They have been under oppression, unlike the other areas that we have talked about, and yet they have shown a real kindness and a spirit that really is one of a light to Asia. And we're just so privileged to be here.
And they've continued to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I would tell people, I've told people frequently, have never been to the Philippines, have never met anybody from the Philippines, is no matter how dire their plight is, they have an eternal optimism. And I think God places that there with them.
Mm-hmm. Darius, any comments, any more comments?
I'm still processing all that we've seen so far, the people we've met, and the days that are ahead of us. But it's a beautiful place here, and yet its purpose is sobering to me. We remember why this particular cemetery is here. And the inscriptions on these unmarked graves, those that are known to God, when you have the hope of the resurrection and knowledge of God, you know that they are not forgotten, and their hope is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been very wonderful to have this conversation here. We hope to make a few other podcasts, and I want to thank you, Wes. Anything more you'd like to say?
I'd just like to say, on behalf of the Manila congregation and all the folks here in the Philippines, thank you for making the giant leap across the ocean to get here. Like I'd said before, the fastest I've made it before is 21 hours. So, and I know how arduous that trip can be, so thank you for doing that for us.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and appreciate Darius here. So thank you for joining us inside United. Please be sure to tell your friends about the podcast. Go to the main page of ucg.org and click on the podcast button. Come back soon and join us for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.